The first reading is from Deuteronomy. You can follow along with the reading on page 164 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and occupy, and he clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations mightier and more numerous than you. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must utterly destroy them. Make no covenant with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for that would turn away your children from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you and he would destroy you quickly. But this is how you must deal with them. Break down their altars, smash their pillars, hew down their sacred poles, and burn their idols with fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on earth to be his people, his treasured possession. It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your ancestors that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and who repays in their own person those who reject him. He does not delay, but repays in their own person those who reject him. Therefore, observe diligently the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that I am commanding you today. The word of the Lord.
So our Old Testament text this morning was a little challenging. It might challenge our perception of who God is as a loving God towards all people. And these are the texts out of the book We Made the Make the Road by Walking that we have been studying as a congregation and reading, that we are continuing on this road together through the rest of the year. And in the chapter that we are reading this week, I think Brian McLaren sort of makes the point that this was the way it was, and in the New Testament, Jesus comes along and changes things and has sort of a new perspective for us to look at. But this is the text that he gives us to think about in that argument, and it's a challenging one as well. So we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 21 through 39. Jesus has been teaching and healing around the area near the Sea of Galilee. He's walked on water and performed miracles and healing, and now they are headed north west into Gentile territory. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'll admit it, I clicked on it. This article came up in my Facebook feed, and it was just too tempting. It had the clickbait title, 50 groups/individuals Jesus says you can hate. The curiosity got the better of me. I will spare you from having to read it yourself and tell you that it was an eye-rolling disappointment. After introducing the list as a scripturally founded compilation of all those people that we are not required by Jesus to love and show mercy toward, after giving us permission to scorn, deride, demonize, and condemn everybody on this list, the piece culminates in a numbered list, 1 through 50, with blank spaces next to each numeral. The first thought that came to my head was, well, duh. I mean, Jesus is the one who taught us to love our enemies, to bless those who persecute us, to welcome the stranger and the outcast, to care for the orphan and the widow. All Jesus talks about is love and expanding the circle of God's love to those who we would perceive to be outside of it. But then we read today's text, and it seems there may be one person, at least, who should be on that list of people Jesus says it's okay to hate. Jesus and his disciples have just entered the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, these names don't mean much to us today. They are still port cities in the country of Lebanon. But for Jesus and his disciples, this would have been like entering New York City or the Hamptons or Birmingham and Bloomfield. These were regions of wealth and privilege. They were major trade cities on the Mediterranean that channeled goods from Macedonia and Egypt and all over the known world to the inland areas of first century Palestine. And just as Jesus and his crew hit 14 Mile and Woodward, this woman comes along. We'll call her Sally because scripture seems to have a difficult time remembering women's names. And Sally has a child who is possessed by a demon, a child with special needs, a child who doesn't behave, who says bad words, who's addicted to drugs, abuses alcohol, who is mentally ill, who is a bully, who is gay, who is transgender. Sally has spent her life concealing her daughter's condition, apologizing for it, spending vast sums of money on phony physicians and experimental remedies. She's learned to be her daughter's advocate and defender, even as this has caused her to lose friends and become alienated from her family. This woman is not Jewish. The Gospel of Mark calls her Syrophoenician, a description that works within the first century landscape. But Matthew labels her a Canaanite, tying her to the people group driven out of the Holy Land when Israel arrived. The people who probably look Syrian. She might be the ancestor of Muslims. Maybe she worships the Canaanite god Baal or Asherah or Melkart. Or perhaps under the influence of surrounding cultures, she worships the Roman Empire or the Greek pantheon. Or maybe she's an atheist. And maybe that's why Jesus feels like he can ignore her, call her names, dare I say, hate her. Calling someone a female dog in ancient Aramaic doesn't sound any nicer than it does in 21st century English. Maybe Jesus had his reasons to hate and insult this woman, but isn't this the same Jesus who taught us to love our enemies and to value mercy over legal technicalities? Didn't he welcome women and tax collectors and sinners and outcasts into his tribe of followers? Where does this exclusionary and offensive behavior come from? It is totally inconsistent with the rest of Jesus' life and ministry. Now, plenty of preachers and commentators have attempted to explain this scene as Jesus acting within the context of his culture. He might be divine, but as a human being, he is still subject to human cultural norms. And his poor treatment of this woman is overshadowed by the fact that eventually he changes his mind and heals the daughter of a Canaanite woman. Isn't that radical? But I'm sorry. I can't believe in a Jesus who would ignore and insult any woman who has a child with special needs begging for help. There's no excuse for that. There's a lot I don't understand about God in Jesus Christ. And today this just has to be one of those things. I can't excuse or explain what Jesus does here and turn it into a feel-good after-school special about inclusion and compassion. I just have to sit uncomfortably with this episode. And this may be the only time that you ever hear me say this, but it is unfortunate that many churches model Jesus' behavior in this situation. We've all heard that Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week in America, and there is good reason for that, because we are modeling Jesus' behavior. We are the church for those who look like us, who believe like us, who behave like us, who belong to our tribe. We are sent only to the educated or to the suburbanites, to the English-speaking, the literate, the sober, the gainfully employed. We are sent only to the white or to the black or to the Latino. We are sent only to the Catholic or the Chaldean or the Baptist or the Presbyterian. The church does a spectacular job of narrowing the scope of her mission. Well done in following in the footsteps of Jesus. And so the miracle that takes place here today is not just the healing of Sally's daughter. The miracle is that Sally sticks around long enough to demand it. When she is excluded and insulted, she doesn't storm off in a huff and badmouth Jesus and his followers. She doesn't return evil for evil, ignoring and insulting Jesus in response. She turns the other cheek. She humbles herself. She models the kind of behavior we'd expect from, well, Jesus. And she uses the same kind of rhetoric and wordplay that we see Jesus use throughout his ministry and teaching. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She is not asking to be included. She is not offering to convert. She is not hoping to be anything more than a dog to Jesus. The faith that Jesus commends in her is not a conversion to Judaism or to a not-yet-existent Christianity. Her faith is not belief in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. Sally's faith is the trust that with Jesus, even Jesus at his worst, things can get better. It is a faith that trusts that Jesus can get better. It is a faith that stands up and demands justice and mercy and truth. It is a faith that does not slink back into self-pity. It does not run home and vent about those people or post on Facebook about how we've been wronged. It is a faith like Jacob's that wrestles with God and demands a blessing even if we are injured in the process. It is a faith that will not accept absolutes and status quo, and that's just the way it is. Now, I don't know if this woman changed Jesus' mind or if this was all a setup so that she could show forth her faith. But I do know that after this encounter, immediately after this encounter, Jesus goes and feeds and heals thousands of non-Jews. There is no more of this, "I came only to save the lost sheep of Israel" business. I don't know if any of you are aware, but there is an election happening this week. And plenty of churches around this country have felt like they are the church only for Republicans or Democrats or libertarians, or we just shouldn't vote for anybody. And I hope we don't model Jesus' behavior this week. Instead, I hope that we model Sally's behavior, which in this case happens to be more Christ-like than Christ's. I hope we demonstrate a faith that believes that the body of Christ, even at its worst, has the power to heal, to make things better. A faith that looks past our political parties and tribes and divisions and demands mercy and justice and truth. A faith that doesn't walk away hurt, that doesn't respond in kind to wrongdoing, that doesn't ignore offensive behavior. Let's have that kind of faith this week. Let's be that kind of church. Because that is the kind of faith that leads to healing. If you want to join me on Election Day this Tuesday, I will be here from the time the polls open until they close. This is my polling place, my community, my church. And we will be here showing hospitality, handing out coffee, fostering conversation, encouraging kindness and patience, promoting mercy and humility and peace all day long. We will do this as we plead and pray for healing. And we will invite the whole community to come together on Wednesday evening here in this sanctuary to pray for healing and hope for our nation. Like Sally, the Canaanite woman, we will witness to the truth that God's blessing, God's healing, God's promises are not exclusive. With humility and reverence, with courage and perseverance, we will pray that God heals this country possessed by the demons of fear and partisanship, hatred and anger and contempt. We will demand scraps from the table if we must, but we will believe that the body of Christ can cast out these demons and return us to life. Because we are everybody's church. And we do believe that the list of those we are permitted to hate is blank. And when we behave to the contrary, we are grateful for those who remind us to see that everyone is welcome at Christ's table. Everyone is worthy of God's blessing and healing, and that everyone is a child of God, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen.